people. This is Starship Rokon Show with Anna DeBlantis. Up for another day of broadcast insolence.
Jen answered my question there. Just the southbound, I was wondering why that was okay when it looked like such a huge portion of these beams were cracked on the northbound. But it's a separate structure entirely.
Yeah, separate enough. I still don't like the idea. I mean, I'm glad because I got to work. That was important because otherwise I would have not been able to get to work if they not kept the southbound lanes open. But the northbound lanes, now we're looking right at this out of our window.
Mm-hmm.
If I may just implore CLTV to go along with me on my little, I'm going to do a whole Dave Garraway thing for you, and I'm going to walk over here with my monkey and my microphone, my oversized microphone. If you could just shoot the shot out down the river here toward the lake, you guys have that in your bag of tricks there. Mm-hmm. I'm going to turn this way for the people.
I like the hand gestures.
Yes, thank you very much.
Very.
I do this. I'm kind of working a whole kind of thing. I'll get up over here.
Okay.
The microphone
we can't hear you as well, but it's still.
It's fine.
We get it.
If you see this over here,
I don't think you have to yell. Really.
What? You notice that there's no traffic.
None.
Going this way.
Right.
But there's some sporadic traffic going this way.
Right. Because of that nasty crack in the beam. Yeah.
We actually do have a camera that's right on that bridge.
Yeah, I know. They just went to it. I'm still standing there screaming. And then I'm doing my full time scaling.
Structural emergency. Yes. So they're attending to it.
Well, it is an emergency. When you see the picture,
you don't want to drive over it when you see the picture.
I might just tell you that Chicago made some pretty significant headlines, or I should say, made the national news and cable news with the image of the metro tracks on fire during the polar vortex.
Sure did.
Right? Everybody wanted to see that. They're like, well, what happens to the train? Train goes right over it. What about the gasoline cars? All goes right over it. And you just go fast and you hope it doesn't explode. What we will now be in the news for over the next few days is that picture. When people see, just go ahead on your phone and look it up.
Yeah.
You just look at the Lakeshore Drive beam. That's all you got to do.
Plug that in and you'll see. It's a powerful picture. It certainly shows everything you need to know that you shouldn't be driving over that bridge. It's scary.
I did not realize that steel I-beams could do that.
Yeah.
Crack like that. Like, just break. Like plastic.
Sure. It looks like Legos.
Yeah.
Like, just a Lego piece pulled out of place. But you wonder how much polar vortex and the freezing, frigid weather we've had. Does that impact the stuff? We've got to find out what they think.
Yeah. If you look closely, a little rusty.
And I know Ben Bradley, WGN, has some other information about history of some of these kind of structural issues in our city. But so we'll be interested to hear what he has to say. But how this gets to this point, you know, who checks them regularly, those kinds of things be interesting to know.
CLTV has put up a shot here now, which I really appreciate, of one lone orange cone that is on the northbound lanes, right, the northbound lanes of Lakeshore Drive, the one orange cone in the lane where they don't want you to drive because that's right over the beam, and they don't want to make it worse. They want your car to fall off. But there's one orange cone, one. I don't think it's enough. Jen, to your point, not enough.
It's getting a lot of attention on social media, that cone.
Yeah.
It's adorable.
It's adorable.
It's a lonely little orange cone that is just sitting there. There's no traffic. I mean, this would be a good time to bike the drive if you really want to do it.
Mm-hmm. I think a bike would be okay.
Yeah.
Could do that.
Because you can't get on. You can't get on Lakeshore Drive northbound until Illinois Street, right? Are they letting people on there?
By Navy Pier.
Yeah, that's got to be a mess. That's got to be a total mess. This whole thing's a mess. And thank God it's not rush hour. And that does not look like the kind of thing that you're going to be able to just fix.
No.
You know, like just do a little patching.
No, what I'm seeing is for the foreseeable future find new travel plans. I don't know that they have an exact date yet, but certainly today in this. What are you hearing, Jen? Exactly.
Don't you have to replace the I-beam completely?
The press release from CDOT says it's definitely going to be closed today, but they haven't said exactly when it will reopen. We're waiting for them to call us back, so we could have some more information for you.
You can imagine the scrambling going on over at CDOT right now while they're trying to figure this out.
Get them cones. We need cones.
Where's the cones? When we got no more cones?
We only got one cone. That's not enough.
They could find.
They got one cone out there.
They got that whole truck that has just filled with cones when they shut off the left turn lane on northbound Lakeshore Drive during rush hour.
Yes, you see a bunch of cones.
They got a whole truck that's nothing but cones.
Bring that truck.
Send the cone truck over to this and just at least put more cones out so it looks like you're doing something. Because even though there's nothing out there, there's no traffic, the one lonely cone standing over the broken I-beam.
It doesn't look like enough for the circumstances.
Right, when you show it from the helicopter shot, there's the road and you see it all cracked and you see the I-beam cracked underneath it, which indicates that the road, could collapse down at least one level below. It makes everybody a little uncomfortable.
And then it's going to start to snow, so then they're not going to be able to work for a while.
CLTV, thank you. They put the cone back up. And that poor little lonely cone is sitting there, and you're like, ain't going to stop poop.
They actually had cones blocking the whole two right lanes when I was coming in just before noon. So that is the one cone
what a sense of humor the guy's got that was picking up the cones. Just leave that one there. Just let everybody know this is where this is going to be over by here, over by the cone. Hey, you got to fix that. Just look for an orange cone.
Who found the crack? I mean, was this an inspection? And they were like, whoa. Or was someone riding their bike and they were like, whoa.
I think it's anybody who was getting off at Randolph would be able to see it.
That doesn't look right to me.
Yeah, wait a minute.
Should probably give someone a call.
And that's the problem, is that when you get off northbound Lakeshore Drive at Randolph, it takes you kind of underneath by that big boat that's a club or something, or whatever is going on over there. And then it takes you underneath, and then it takes you under Lakeshore Drive.
So you get a nice view of it from there if you're looking.
Well, if you like the girders and beams. But then all of a sudden you got a cracked beam there. Someone's going to, and it looks like it's going to fall on those people, right?
Yeah, they're
so that's kind of a moment.
So they're going to install a shoring tower, CDOT says, as quickly as possible.
Jen, I think you said
Do they have that in place?
I don't know if it's completed, but I know that they have been trying to stabilize the bridge.
Okay, now if we're done with the orange cone, maybe we get ourselves a shoring tower. And how many guys that see that are going, what? shoring tower. What's a shoring tower?
I think this is a great time that we hashtag fund infrastructure and hashtag fund transit.
Great idea.
Very, very activist of you. Okay, I get it. But you're a traffic reporter and you have to have a cause. And this is an important cause. Infrastructure is an important cause for a traffic reporter.
Yeah, it's an important cause for all of us. Mm-hmm. Luckily, though, look, no injuries, right? No vehicles damaged, nothing. It wasn't a tragedy. Somebody noticed it. So let's give them some credit for that.
Right. Didn't collapse.
Didn't have any more of a structural issue than we're seeing.
Ben Bradley is going to join us because he's got some details on this that are pretty outrageous. I mean, again, I know we're talking about something that's downtown and that's not affecting, everybody who's listening to us. It's affecting some people listening to us because there's I think 100,000 people in rush hour on, they're going to go over that bridge. But it's still it is the dumbest picture of the year so far in Chicago. The cone, I think the tracks on fire is a far more sophisticated image for Chicago than the one cone and then the broken I-beam that's holding up a bridge. Then again, there's probably 200,000 people who travel on that thing all day long.
Yeah. It's an iconic part of our city.
It's
Lakeshore Drive.
Lakeshore Drive. It's Lakeshore Drive over the Chicago River. That's the bridge we're talking about here.
The piece that carries you over the Chicago River would be impacted by this particular beam, that piece.
But they still have all these people in the southbound lanes. It's now rush hour on the southbound lanes. They're filled up. I'd still be a little nervous about this because if that thing goes, what else goes? All right, Ben's going to join us in a second. But first, let's check in. Kim, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
A big honor for a Chicago icon.
Oh, too soon, damn it. Too soon. Ben Bradley joins us right now. He's on the Lonely Orange Cone watch at WGN TV News.
Can you confirm it was actually a WGN radio employee who was bird watching out the window there and spotted the giant crack on Lakeshore
Yes,
Drive?
That's exactly
Wouldn't
what
be
happened.
Surprised.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, we're looking at the bridge inspection reports from IDOT, and this particular section, this is kind of the overpass before you get over that main bridge over the Chicago River. It was last inspected about a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm. How did it do?
Did pretty well.
They missed something.
Inspectors found the deck and superstructure to be in fair to satisfactory condition. Only minor deterioration and a couple of cracks were noted. And that particular section...
Found one!
Put the cone on it.
Well, the disturbing part is, as I was poking around and going through IDOT bridge inspection reports, I was like, well, let's see if this kind of Randolph overpass cracked and got a good review. I wonder what the actual bridge over the Chicago River, I wonder how that did.
Oh, no. Did you look it up?
Yep.
Why would you do something like that?
Yeah, we'll have more about it at 4 o'clock today, but let's just say the bridge over the river is in far worse shape, according to inspection records, found to be in serious condition with significant section loss, the structural evaluation, intolerable.
Intolerable? What does that mean, intolerable?
Well, I will say, you know, when you review these bridge inspection reports, their language does not always match up with our language, or our definitions don't always match up. But yeah, it is. It does not have a great rating in terms of safety and stability. Bro, I can see you right now looking back at the bridge.
Where is that bridge?
Hold on.
We take that bridge all the time.
Do this again here, Ben. Yeah. I gotta go back here.
Yeah.
Go back and look at it, Ro. See what it seems to the eye.
You're doing like a John Coleman here. Let's see. So we got the bridge over his right shoulder. There's one crack. There's crack two.
I see a lot of crack.
I got crack three.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Those were CDOT workers bending over. I'm sorry.
Stop.
Sorry about that.
But you might be surprised to find out just how many bridges in Illinois have been deemed structurally deficient. 2,243.
Across the state. Wow.
Yep.
See, where's our... Now, whatever happened to that infrastructure thing? We got to build a wall.
Oh, the infrastructure week?
Yeah, whatever happened to that?
That didn't go well. I forget which Twitter scandal developed that week. But the truth is, Illinois has actually not had a big capital bill in about a decade. But all of these big projects are kind of a mixture of federal, state, and local dollars.
I say, I'll give them a couple hundred miles of wall. I don't care.
Just as long as you can get over the Chicago River.
Yeah. I'll trade him 100 miles of wall for one bridge.
Your priorities have more to do with what you'll fall into than the actual like chances of death. Like the thought of plunging into the Chicago River freaks you out, doesn't it?
Well, wouldn't that freak most people out?
No, I'm talking about because of the sanitary conditions.
Oh, yeah, right. That's true.
Right.
Yes. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be a bad way to go as far as I'm concerned. It's like, because you know when you like land in, you're not expecting it, and you know you fall off the bridge because it's got a crack.
Yeah.
And then you land in, you open your mouth, and then you get a mouthful of the river water.
Don't do that.
Even though you've just hit it at pretty much terminal velocity.
Right.
Your mouth is still open. And probably my aorta may still be part of my heart, but it may not be. I don't know. Oh. And then boom. You know,
yeah.
It's like, oh, God, I swallowed that. It broke every part of my body.
But if the fall doesn't kill you, the contents of the water will.
I got my eye. It's in my eye.
Can you see anymore?
Ro shows up with a pirate patch for the rest of the week just because he got splashed.
Right. Yes, I'm in a full body cast, but I'm more worried about whether or not I'm going to have to go. So imagine being in a full body cast and having, you know, stomach issues. That's not so good.
Oh, gee.
How do they do that?
I don't know.
Is there like a trap door?
It ain't good.
Yeah, I'm sure we can figure
that out. Let's hope we don't find out.
But it sounds like we're going to find out more about some infrastructure issues for the state when we tune in later.
Yep.
It's troubling. That's unsettling, actually.
All right.
To hear about that.
All right. Now they got my attention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now that I'm able to do the full Tom Skilling, well, I stand up against the window and I point at things.
That was impressive.
Thank you. I'm going to try out now. Maybe they need something over by CLTV. All right. Thank you, Ben. Jeez. More on this at 4, 5, 6, 9, and 10. It's a big story in Chicago. We could have Lakeshore Drive closed over the river for, it could be a while. Could be a while. All right. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Thanks, Ben.
I almost anticipated Kevin was going to go, Mom, the phone's ringing!
Pick it up.
Pick up a phone!
Can't get it.
Try to watch TV.
Busy, man.
So loud, huh?
Is what? Someone calling to tell us there's an orange cone on Lakeshore Drive?
Got a news tip for you. Found us a cone.
One orange cone present on the northbound lanes. Cone.
Yeah, this is why we don't pay for news tips, I just want to say. Let the other guys claim they pay for news tips, but they're still only paid. It's only like $78 a month, you know, per month that they actually spend.
Right. Well, we can see practically the whole city from here, so we're able to spot that one orange cone.
A.B. Stoddard is joining us. There's been a change on your schedule for those who are anticipating it was going to be Michael Steele today.
Mm-hmm.
A.B. Stoddard's going to play Michael Steele. Then Michael Steele's going to play A.B. Stoddard a little bit later in the week. That's how that's going to go.
We do it all the time.
Yes, I know. But we're in the middle of a crisis here, A.B. I mean, Chicago is experiencing what may be the goofiest. You remember last week or 2 weeks ago during the polar vortex, and there were all those pictures of the tracks on fire? Here, did you see that?
Yeah.
Right. Well, now the bridge over Lakeshore Drive, at you know, for the Chicago River, is just cracked. There's a gigantic I-beam crack in part of it, and they've closed it down. And it's one of those pictures when you go, this is it's like an ad for an infrastructure bill, right?
Right.
It's the picture that all the newspapers will use for the next, I don't know, 6 months to a year when they talk about infrastructure.
That's horrifying.
Yeah, it's horrifying. It's scary because it's an I-beam. It's not just like a little piece of a crack. It's like concrete. This is a steel I-beam that is cracked in half. Now,
structural emergency.
Yes. So. I guess the question many of us are going to have is, what happened to that infrastructure bill? Where is that?
I know it really is really just there's not a member in either the Democratic caucus or the Republican conference in the House, and obviously senators from every state that don't have projects that are in desperate need of repair that the voters want them to prioritize. And we know that this is, you know, if you look at the polling, it's like number one priority for so, you know, next to health care for the voters who want Congress to act on these top issues. And it's, you know, very, very bipartisan. The problem is, the problem in the last couple of years when Republicans had full control, they fight about this issue among themselves because they wanted to prioritize. If you were to pick this kind of deficit spending and this kind of that kind of deficit spending, they wanted to prioritize the tax cuts. And so there's always been an issue on that side. And then the parties fight between themselves, of course, over the funding stream and how to get a formula with public-private financing and where to focus the projects, questions of, you know, new technologies and green energy and this type of thing. And so now that you've got the Republicans, so they wanted, you know, the voters, would, I think, would have prioritized President Trump tackling this with the Democrats first. I think he should have done it. I think he should have shamed them into joining with him in the first 100 days. But he chose to focus on the repeal and replacement of Obamacare, which was the Republican priority. And, of course, it failed and became a huge electoral liability for Republicans in the 2018 midterms and will remain so for President Trump if he doesn't pull something out of a hat with his party and the Democrats. So now you have a situation where his party's in the minority on the House side. They've therefore, because they passed the tax cuts and they're back in the minority, they found their fiscal rectitude and they want to get back to talking about spending cuts and rescission packages. And
well,
I can't see them getting together on infrastructure. And then the Democrats are going to choose their battles, right? Where do they work with him? Where do they fight him?
Right. Well, right. They don't want anything to get done because then if the new game in Washington, it's been thus basically the entire 21st century, is that if you could get divided government, shut everything down, nothing gets done, then you somehow win. But you win for a very short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody gets mad at what you just did, and then you move forward. I will say that you mentioned this issue about fiscal responsibility. Republicans are now trying to find their way into. One of the things that the president talked about was kind of goes against this because he realizes people are already starting to file their taxes. This is the first tax year where you can see where the cut helps you or not. And people in state, high state and local tax states like Illinois are starting to get their, at least whether they get their refund or not, but they're starting to see whether or not they get a refund and all that. And it is, and I predicted this a year ago, it's shocking to them that they're not, you know, the amount of money that they have underpaid, that they thought they were, that they thought they had overpaid because of that state and local taxes, because you can only write off up to $10,000 your mortgage interest plus or minus your state and local taxes. So it is and people not even in lower state taxes situations are sort of surprised by the way that this isn't really as big as advertised in terms of the tax cut. And the president has already said, well, maybe he's going to revisit that and allow for the full deductions on your mortgage interest or your state and local taxes.
Yeah, it's...
But he can't do it. There's no money to do it.
This is really, it's really tough. I mean, that's been quite an interesting journey, because it was so unpopular when it was passed. Then it had this big PR juice, a big boost by all these corporations announcing that they were giving away all these bonuses. They weren't raises. I mean, very few of them did actual raises, but they did a lot of bonuses, and so it got this boost of PR, and it became really popular. And then there was a fascinating internal poll that the RNC did in September, October before the election, where they basically conceded in an internal memo that they had lost the messaging battle on the tax cut. So it's, you know, it's just very hard given not only the numbers in the Congress, but the fact that the public now lacks trust in what they passed, for them to sort of try to push for anything more. At the same time, you've got a situation now where we can't get to any spending cuts or sanity, because we've watched this before. The only way that I see big deals coming through, both on the debt ceiling, which is up on March 2nd, and they can delay that a little bit, but not much. So we're rounding the corner of another cliff really soon, even though we're currently in a stalemate. Then we're still fighting over FY19 budget. We have to get to the next year's spending, which, of course, we have a deadline of September 30th. And the old sequester that we all remember agonizing over will kick back in unless Congress comes to another agreement on raising the caps set out in the 2011 Budget Control Act. So look at these three cliffs in front of us, and look at the fact that they can't decide on detention beds and a border wall. Mm-hmm. And we have real spending issues to confront in a divided government. And it's just unbelievable. I wrote last week they should just do a huge deal that gets us past the election or to the election with the BCA caps, the debt ceiling, and some, you know, at least the next year's fiscal year numbers. And then they can fight about immigration and healthcare pricing, healthcare insurance adjustments, all sorts of things. But drug pricing and all these things that they say they have consensus on and a shared interest in. But this idea that we're going to be at these cliffs again, you know, threatening our credit ratings and everything, is absolutely terrifying.
Mm-hmm. AB, I want to ask you about what's happening tonight. The president heads to the border just this afternoon, told reporters that 75,000 people have signed up for his rally, even though the arena holds only 8,000. So he's showing the support that he believes he has, and the border wall pitch will be out there again. He was fact-checked at the State of the Union because he mentioned that, you know, El Paso used to have these extremely high rates of violent crime before their wall, and they're a shining example of why walls work. And then it was explained that before then that they really didn't. They stayed about the same. And then you heard Beto O'Rourke, of course, is going to have a competing rally nearby. Do you think the president pulls more people to his side tonight? What do you think is the effect of, or the impact of what we look for, are going to see tonight?
I think it would have been a better effect had he not made those claims and prompted the Republican mayor of El Paso to go on TV tour since the State of the Union leading up to this rally, telling us all that it's not true. Mm-hmm. So it's unfortunate because he's been undercut by a Republican mayor and everyone else representing El Paso. And then he's given this platform to Beto O'Rourke to, you know, have a huge audience of excited Democrats, independents, curious about whether or not he'll run, et cetera, focusing on his kind of counter rally and messaging about how all this data that President Trump was using the other night and may use again tonight isn't true. So I don't know. I don't know if Trump even cares, but that's definitely what he's kind of set up here.
Let's move over to the Democrat side of the ledger. Well, I'm going to do a bridge for you because we don't have them in Chicago anymore. So I'm going to do a bridge for you right
now. How's the beam on your bridge? See, is it okay?
So let me do the bridge. The president and Elizabeth Warren are in a little bit of a Twitter slap here. The president Twitter slaps her and in the, because she announced she's running for president on Saturday, and then says, "See you on the trail," and trail is all in caps, comma, Liz, after he kind of, you know, made fun of her for claiming that she had Native American heritage. Now, a lot of people are taking that as that this is a Trail of Tears reference, which is the basically one of the sweeps of one of the more awful moments in American history, in which U.S. cavalry personnel were used to go and basically massacre Native Americans all the way through the Plain States, right? And the question I have is, does anybody believe that the president knows what the Trail of Tears is? Because I don't. I think that I don't know that that is a reference to that, but it's gotten so much traction. Then Don Jr. in his infinite wisdom decided to jump in and use the word savage in the middle of it. I mean, they're either the dumbest or the meanest. I just don't know which.
Yeah. And that debate was unfolding on social media yesterday. And I'm with you. We can't really be positive either way. But Trump will often do that. He'll be a little bit cryptic or confusing in order to sort of get the double, right? Mm-hmm. Get the benefit of the doubt so his supporters can say, no, he didn't really mean that, but at the same time kind of, you know, juice whatever people who think that that's great. I think that I just personally think that Elizabeth Warren, I was really stunned to see her announcement speech because I thought her campaign ended last week when the Texas bar thing came out with her signing it herself and saying she was American Indian. But I don't believe there's a meaningful, you know, material, consequential, large enough constituency for Elizabeth Warren to win the nomination, but she does. And I think that she's now, you know, an easy target now. Legitimately, officially an easy target for President Trump, given the things she's done in the last couple months or that had been revealed. And I think that, you know, she made some comments yesterday about how he might not even be a free man by 2020. The problem with Elizabeth Warren is that she's his punching bag and she's going to try to punch back. And I don't think it's going to benefit her. I don't think it's going to benefit the Democratic Party and their nominating process. And it's like a great foil for Trump. And we've discussed before, likely the best person to present a contrast to Trump and win over people in the middle is someone who can just repel that right off their back.
And there's a number of Democrats tripping over their own messages in Washington, too, including the freshman congresswoman from Minnesota, who now has had to unequivocally apologize for a tweet that she sent out that referenced a fairly old trope about Jewish money and politics in America, and so she's had to come out too. But we got to run. AB, I'm sorry, we had to, because this bridge has got me all kerfuffled. I had to move in a different direction today. I don't know what to do, and I cannot.
I hope someone gets to it lickety split. Yeah. Thanks for calling, guys.
Thank you, AB. Appreciate it. I can't move at least northbound. That's my problem right now. Southbound,
what are you
gonna
do?
Okay. Speaking of that, let's check in with Kim. What's coming up at the top?
Well, as we were talking about, no getting by on parts of Lakeshore Drive. We'll tell you why.
Kim Gordon standing by in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. She's going to plant the news in your ear.
Good.
And there's
a lot of news.
Big news in Chicago. Lakeshore Drive could be messed up for some time to come here.
Mm-hmm. And I'll do it without an orange cone.
Yes. She'll do that with it. She's wearing an orange cone on her head, though, now, because there's an I-beam issue. It's really, it's nice. I like what she's doing there.
Good luck.
It's all coming your way. But first... Tom Skillen being brought to us by Permaseal Basement Systems.
Hi, Tom. Happy Monday. Tom?
Yes. Are you hearing this, guys?
Nah, that was my fault.
Oh.
Now we hear you.
Bro, yes. That's, what, the first mistake?
First mistake I've ever made.
1967, I think, at least.
That's correct.
Maybe that, ever.
No first one ever, Tom.
Probably the first one was when you agreed to work with me, right? You know, so that, so this is number
that
two.
That would be number two. Would be it. Oh, my God, Tom, have you seen the pictures of the I-beam on Lakeshore Drive?
No.
The cracked beam?
Oh, yeah.
A sight to behold. A little bit unsettling, I would call it.
Where is it?
It's are you not familiar with what's going on here?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Are you in your weather cave? Are you not? All right.
I guess. Yeah. You know? I'm in my own little weather bubble here.
I know what he's doing because he drove into work mm-hmm. singing at the top of his lungs.
No, you know what?
Barbara Streisand.
Do you know what I actually did? I drove in here. I forgot my sport coat. And television, that's a bit of a, you know, an occupational hazard.
Yeah, sure.
So we've worked through that little mess. Now I want to hear about the I-beam.
You should keep, by the way, there's a little trick. You should always keep one in the office.
Absolutely.
Just a blue blazer. Blue blazer, no matter what. Yeah. A blue blazer goes with everything.
How long have I been in this business? Yeah. You know,
Can't you borrow one from one of the other guys in the office there?
Well, you know, I went through the closets, and unfortunately, there aren't any of my size sitting around here. So, you know. But at any rate,
girls always share stuff. Boys never do.
You're not all really? Right.
Yeah. Let's
not allowed.
Let's talk about this. So here's the deal. So it is the northbound Lakeshore Drive, mm-hmm. right around Randolph. There is a piece of the I-beam as the bridge starts to come up off the ground, you know, take you over the river
right.
at Randolph. There's a piece of the I-beam in the northbound lanes that is cracked in half.
How
They've stopped
scary.
All the traffic. On northbound Lakeshore Drive over the river.
Oh,
so
my
from
gosh.
I think it's at Madison, maybe. What is it, Jen? Help me with that again. Monroe?
Between Wacker and Randolph is what they're showing.
Shoving us off there?
Now they're shoving everybody off at Jackson.
Jackson.
Oh. Yeah, it's even further back.
Keeping moving away.
And there's one cone, if you see, and I know WGN-TV is showing this video, the aerial video of the scene, and we've been talking about the one traffic cone marking the spot where there's an issue.
Wow. So in other words, we're going into the Monday rush hour, and we've got the traffic backed up 15 miles or something.
Yeah, that's bad. But, Tom, that's what we're saying to you is it sucks. More than Detroit, this sucks.
You know, I've had to get places, and then the bridge has gone up to accommodate boats, but it's never been something that's actually been broken on it. That's really sad.
Now,
sorry for everybody in that mess.
Yeah.
The southbound lanes are going right by. And it's almost like, nah, 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 nah. Oh. You know, because they
see the one cone, and it's not, they don't think it's that big of a deal.
Well, it's not on their side. The cone is on the northbound side, and the problem is that they sit, now, as Jen explained to us, too, the northbound and southbound lanes on the bridge here at Michigan Avenue, at Lakeshore Drive and the river, the northbound and southbound lanes are two separate structures.
Sure.
Which is interesting because when the bridge goes up, are they separate structures?
That is interesting. I didn't think so.
That part is the same. So where it's actually at right here, it's a separate structure.
Wow. So where the damage is, mm-hmm. is a separate structure.
You guys must have a view of that from the new studios. Don't you?
Oh, Tom, you missed my CLTV performance earlier where I got up and I impersonated you.
He was going all TV weatherman trying to show the graphics and the information.
I stood at the window. And showed the bridge, which is about half a mile behind me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not even gesticulating quarter mile behind in that me. Overly exaggerated way know, he thought that he should do.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's what I did.
Well, how about that? I just missed on all counts here. I'm coming into this story late, and we've been busy with this weather. What we've got coming in here is a mess and a half. The radar detected precipitation is only 20 to 25 miles southwest of here, and it's moving northeastward, and it's going to be a mess.
Okay, so what's going to happen to mm-hmm. us now?
Well, we're going to get a mix of snow, sleet, and freezing rain in the city. It'll be snow in the northern counties much of the night, and that could lay down, you know, in some of the harder hit northern counties, up toward Belvedere, McHenry County, Rockford, out toward Dubuque, anywhere from 1 to 4 inches of snow. And that would include northern Lake County to and into Wisconsin. Then here in the city, we could lay down, a tenth of an inch to two-tenths of an inch of ice. And this will scatter up tomorrow morning. Then snow showers coming on the backside of the storm tomorrow afternoon, and the winds hit tomorrow night. So we can have some wind gusts of 40 to 50 miles an hour again tomorrow night.
Wow.
So if you've got branches and all that are weighed down with any residual ice, that extra weight plus those winds is not good. You know, that could bring down some branches, and you would want to fear some power lines, particularly outside the city here. So at any rate, it's a pretty
so
messy
it's Tuesday.
Setup.
So is the worst part tonight overnight
tonight,
or
yes.
the day during tomorrow?
Worst part is tonight overnight. By morning, the rate of falling precipitation, there'll still be some in the area, will be scattered and lighter, so it'll be reduced. Then snow showers come in tomorrow afternoon. Nothing terrible about those that we haven't handled before, but it's the high winds that hit tomorrow night.
Now, what time do those things hit?
And those will hit 4 to 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. And then it blows through the night and into Wednesday morning and tapers off after that. But it'll be very windy going into Wednesday. And,
our toilet water is going to swirl around here
in
our building.
Well,
true. And the taller the buildings, I mean, I know this by the whole life's experience.
You grew up that way.
Once you get in a building that's more than 20 stories high, if the higher you are on the floors, the more your toilet water swirls around in the bowl when the winds get high.
Yeah. Well, there are pressure oscillations, for one thing, as wind blows against the building.
Right.
And, seeps in and kind of compresses the air that's in there.
Right. Sometimes there's a bit of a sway. A chandelier, because I just grew up in all chandeliers.
Right.
My bedroom had a chandelier.
Worried about chandeliers.
Chandeliers are swaying.
I'll tell you what I'm worried about are the branches that are covered with ice.
I'm more concerned about the chandeliers, Tom.
Well,
I'm very fancy.
Do you know how expensive those crystals are, Tom?
I know. It shows the this is the gap between the urban and the rural part of our area.
Oh, my God, the chandeliers are going to crack.
Yeah, yeah. So it shows. And then, did you hear what happened over the weekend in Hawaii? They got hellacious winds. They had wind gusts of 191 miles per hour clocked on the peak of Mauna Kea on the Big Island. They had 60-foot waves out there. They call it a Kona low. And then, of course, it was snowing in Seattle. And in Las Vegas, it snowed yesterday.
And that was at an ice storm, like a hail.
Yeah,
almost looked like snow at Pebble Beach yesterday.
Yeah.
At the Pebble Beach, the AT&T, the old building, Bing Crosby, the Pro-Am there.
Yeah. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Seattle has established a new February monthly record. They're at 14.1 inches. We nearly blew our barometric pressure record out of the books on Saturday, and we've now gone, here's another record.
Whoa, we did?
Yeah, here in Chicago. Got up to 30.90-some inches of mercury. That's way up there, and that's, one of these Canadian and Arctic highs. And today marks...
Because it's so sunny, it was like severe clear on Saturday.
Exactly, yeah. And today marks the 31st consecutive day of precipitation. That's the longest streak of days with a trace or more of precipitation on the books around here.
Hmm.
It blew out the old record of 19 consecutive days that was recorded twice since 1870. That little nugget comes to me from my colleague Steve Kahn. So, these are unusual times. We've got some interesting stuff going on around here.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you see the story? I know we only have a few minutes here, but about the polar bears that are invading one Russian town, and they called a state of emergency because they have these 50-some polar bears that have gone in. They're going to people's homes. They're in garbage dumps. Yeah, exactly.
They've lost the ice melting up there has deprived them of
Hunting territory.
Yeah, seal hunting. Yeah. And it interferes with that. And so these poor things are hungry, and they're kind of reclaiming their turf from the humans up there. So quite interesting.
They have troubling pictures because they're talking about how this town is in so much in fear, even though there's a ban on hunting polar bear, that they may relieve that ban in order to protect people. And it's just a sad situation.
It is sad. Apparently, they're going to try and transport some of them out of there, which would be a better way to go if they could do it. Mm-hmm. But you can't have polar bears coming after you and your children. You know? It's scary.
No, I found that not to be a good thing.
It's not good. No. That would mess up your chandelier if you had one of those inside.
Right, exactly. You know, well, it depends on how high the chandelier is.
Well,
really,
that's true.
They're pretty tall.
I mean, I think about that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, I just want to tell you.
I
grew up
Please
on the
do.
20th floor of a 34-story building.
Yeah.
And when the wind would blow.
Yeah. You'd rock and roll.
We had a chandelier. What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to go back in time and tell my parents not to buy a chandelier?
See,
they had a chandelier.
You got into rock and roll early, my friend.
And the chandelier would be swaying back and forth. And then it was
terrible.
It wasn't crystal.
Terrifying.
It was glass.
Right.
And the glass was like banging against each other.
Terrible.
I love this.
Keeps you up at night.
815 Row. Ice-covered trees are nature's chandeliers.
Yes.
That's something to keep
right.
in mind.
I'm just saying. But
kind of important, too.
True. Important. What am I supposed to do? I couldn't help how I grew up. These people, they had a chandelier.
You know, Ro, forgive me, but this strikes me as another example of a first world
yes,
problem.
It is.
You know?
Yes, it is.
Yes,
and
yes.
the swirling
yes.
water in the toilet when the thing is moving.
You had a very interesting childhood.
Yeah.
The place was rocking and rolling. The water in your toilet was sloshing.
Right. That's how I knew. I knew it was windy outside. I would get up in the morning and I would just stare at the toilet.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes a dog just looks in the toilet bowl wondering if there's something down there.
As a child, this is what you would do. Windstorms.
That's what I would do.
But see, you've come out of this with a fascination of nature and weather.
Oh,
this
sure.
is where this came from.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anna, we're
no question
we're
about it.
Digging into this and finding how Mr. Khan has come up with
happened.
Some of the attributes he has.
How we got to where we are now.
We could call my mom still lives in that apartment, and she still has the chandelier. We could call her and see. I know we'll do tomorrow night.
I think we should do a chandelier
tomorrow. 4 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah. Perfect.
You'll be on with us. We'll call her, and we'll find out if
there's
a chandelier.
There. Oh, It'll be a couple hours after that. But, you know, I'm thinking of adding a chandelier wiggling watch.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just...
Can you measure that? Like seismologists?
Yeah. Oh, you know, make fun of it until you see it. And then when you see it, you're going to be like, oh, my God, how'd that happen?
I'll tell you. Oh. God. No wonder he's disturbed.
I would then take to my bed. I would then immediately take to my, you know, like it's like 10 o'clock at night. You have to live through this for the entire night. So I would immediately take to my bed and watch Spectrovision or whatever it was that was on Channel 44. And I'd try to watch the dirty movies in between the line. That's how I grew up my life.
Whatever happened to that technology, too? Those things disappeared, those channels, right?
Right. Channel 44 was the Sox game. Games and porn were the two things that were scrambled, and they would just scramble it left, right, and it was like you'd have to, and you know, like with the porn, it worked. It didn't matter. It just was. I get it. I mean, your mind has to get used to it. Baseball is a little more confusing, though. I will admit that. A little harder to follow. All right, Tom, thank you very much. Thanks for all your help.
Interesting first show of the week.
Yeah, it certainly has.
Thank you, sir.
And it goes downhill from here.
You get that sense.
Hey,
full
drive
chandelier.
Carefully tonight, seriously,
thank
everybody.
You.
And watch your chandeliers.
Thank you.
You bet.
Okay. Check in with Kim Gordon. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
More trouble for Virginia's embattled lieutenant governor.
Neo doing Stevie Wonder. This is a warning to all the kids out there that think they can just do Stevie Wonder.
Very difficult.
On an award show. Very hard. He pulled it off about as well as it can be pulled off. I will say that about the Neo. Neo, very, very, very talented. Sort of surprised that he did not have the kind of career. He got Bruno Mars'd. Because was kind of like in the in-between Michael Jackson and Bruno Mars era, Neo was going to be
the thing,
the big hit in that sort of triple threat performer, and just didn't quite work out. But wow, what a the Grammys last night! I thought were
excellent.
Now I gotta say, so I got in a little bit of a twisty kind of situation earlier today on the Windy City Live, because there is a question about this cultural appropriation issue,
right?
Of J-Lo performing in the Motown.
Right. Many in social media were saying, well, why wouldn't you have a black singer performer do this when you're, you know, it's a tribute to Motown? She was asked about it and a number of occasions, but right backstage while she was still like really, you know, just had just come off stage, asked about it there. And she said, well, look, this is in my heart. And I just want people to understand this music is important to me and so many of us. And I was honored to be able to perform it. It feels right to me.
There was such a there's a lot of whataboutisms that are going on here. Well, what if, you know, what, you know, why, how would you like it if a black person did a white thing? I heard that today. I'm like, in music, first of all, we spend too much time identifying ourselves like this and deciding that we're going to tribalize and we're one and you're the other and everybody's different. And instead of celebrating things that make us the same, we celebrate the things we actually hunker down on the things that make us different.
Mm-hmm.
Not celebrate, that'd be the wrong word to use there, but it's just bad. It's just the whole thing is just a mess. And I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking, first of all, if there have been African-American artists who are country artists, right? And are people complaining about that? Now, were there... the Motown actually did have a couple of white acts on the label and later in the history of Motown.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea that you can't... that's not a celebration of the greatness of America and the melting pot of America to have J-Lo perform. And she was pretty good. You got it. You know
she
what?
Was
did
good.
You, do you realize J-Lo's 50?
I know. I was thinking that at the time when she was performing it. I just thought, gosh, she's someone who just gets better, if
right.
that's possible. And she said,
a cartwheel.
Mommy, she said she did a shout out to her mom, Lupe, and said that this one's for you because we grew up dancing to this music at home. Me and my sisters, mom would be the temptation, like we'd be like the backups, and this was our music. And so she felt a huge amount of respect for it, but she took a ton of heat for being the one chosen.
She hit the notes.
She did. She was entertaining.
Yeah.
Incredibly so.
I mean, I think it's a sickness that we have here, and we got to get over it. We got to get over it. This idea that if you are one color, you can't do something else. It doesn't work like that. It does not work like that. And again, this goes to, it's about music. It's about music. Okay, I get you shouldn't wear blackface. Fine. I get it.
Can you tell people in Virginia about that, please?
I'd like to go back to the 1980s and tell those people they were wrong then too, because I remember that. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about singing the music. And then, you know, one of the arguments I heard or I saw on social media and I heard throughout the morning was, well, you know, many of those artists didn't get paid the amount of money they should have gotten paid at the time. Yeah, by Berry Gordy. that's the thing about Motown. Yeah, a lot of those people complained about what happened to Motown, but they were complaining about Berry Gordy.
Smokey Robinson defending J-Lo today.
Yeah.
Saying no one should be upset about this. I think this was a good choice. I think a lot of people are just saying, hey, that might have been a good opportunity to have someone... African American, do it.
African Americans performed all night long.
Right,
very female. I thought they were
Alicia
very
Keys was
diverse.
Incredible last night. The dual piano thing she pulled off—that
was
unbelievable,
outrageously good.
I'm surprised there wasn't, you know, some tiki torch carrying guy from Virginia complaining there weren't enough white people at the show last night.
Liam Neeson,
where was he?
Walking
he
outside
could have
the
been
theater,
like...
just taking.
Just waiting for anybody to come out of here. I got my cush.
Seems like a good place for him to be.
I'm about to... Oh, J-Lo came out. I can't hit her. God, what is she? I don't even know.
Yeah. I think I... Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was... Now, the only person I still... And I refuse to understand, even though he said... They said something like 100 million downloads of his song. And he was up for Song of the Year, is Travis Scott, mm-hmm. who is... related to one of the Kardashians. Which one is it? And how is it? He's got
Kylie Jenner.
The baby Stormy,
and they got the baby right. Mm-hmm. But you know, but I tell you what happened. But Earth, Wind, and Fire, the surviving members of Earth, Wind, and Fire were up on stage with him last night as his backup band. And I thought, all right, well, that gives you some street. You know, that's that street cred. That's like music industry cred. That's considered, you know, Earth, Wind, and Fire is one of the greatest technical musical acts of all times, right? I mean, they've got a gazillion Grammys, and they're a human supergroup. So if they're up there, then I thought, well, all right, there must be something that I'm missing here musically. As an incredible musical critic mm-hmm. myself. I don't get what. First of all, I don't understand a third of the lyrics because they have to beep them out. So I don't know what they are on the TV. Although now that's the thing, they were beeping him out. I'm thinking, now what could he have possibly sung when Cardi B? I don't know if you know the lyrics to the word
right.
to the song "Money" by Cardi B, mm-hmm. which she performed last night.
She did somehow.
I dare not say for work and not safe, you know, around the kids, but Google the lyrics.
Yeah, it's interesting because I was thinking, you know, CBS was so careful about its halftime show for the Super Bowl, but this aired on CBS at a time when, you know, there's a lot
right.
there to
and there
absorb.
Should be a lot of young. I mean, that's right. that would be a young show
young
to
viewers.
Watch because it's all musical acts performing. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't have
names. They know.
Used to be the best Polka Tejano record. You know, they used to...
Tejano.
It was like a six-hour-long telecast where they would go through all the awards. Mm-hmm. And now they said, you know, we'll do like three or four awards, and then we're going to... The rest of it is going to be music. It was a brilliant move that, you know, the producers of the Grammys came up with. It definitely it solved the problem that they had as a television show.
And more Dolly Parton would be great, because that was just... Amazing.
And Dolly Parton was amazing,
she
right?
was.
And then they put Dolly Parton up with other singers who were like blowing past her, which was a bit of a... That was weird. Katy Perry mm-hmm. singing with her, and Katy Perry then trying to prove how vocally talented she is, because now she's known more as a reality judge than she is a contest judge than she is as a performer. Casey Musgrave, who won the album of the year. She's very good. She had the big hair like we used to have in the 70s. But here we go. Here comes Katy Perry stealing the show. Here you come again. Just when I'm about to make it work without you, you look into my eyes and lie those pretty lies. And pretty soon I'm wondering. It's sort of like, what are you going to do here? And then there's really Dolly right there. Let's listen to Dolly.
Let's hear Dolly. I love Dolly.
So Katy Perry blowing Dolly away there. Here's Dolly. Oh, you're looking better if everybody has a right to. And shaking me up so. Now, you got to give Dolly something. Dolly's 70, right?
Oh, she is incredible.
I mean, standing up there and still looks great.
Mm-hmm.
One of the nicest people in all of show business.
Absolutely. Everybody loves her.
And, you know, generous and, you know, stays out of all the fray of everything mm-hmm. that could possibly go wrong. She's had a little bit of a life, right?
Sure. She's lived.
And so, you know, she gets this Lifetime Achievement. Actually, there were some great Lifetime Achievement Awards last night.
There were.
Right? I mean, it was a nice moment for a lot of people, but I mean, come on, Katie, Let her sing her song. Come on now.
Well, I liked the back and forth with Miley Cyrus and Dolly Parton. And did you know that she's her goddaughter?
Yeah.
And so,
yeah, because, well, you know, she's born in Tennessee. Billy Ray Cyrus was, you know,
right, kind of country royalty.
Yeah, sort of, right? Sure. He had the biggest country hit. He had the biggest crossover country hit of the early 1990s, right? Icky Breaky Heart.
Mm-hmm.
So he sort of changed country music, really. They literally launched country music formats in big cities because of that Billy Ray Cyrus song. He never really followed it up with much in terms of, you know, gigantic hits like that again.
I was wondering if he became a great songwriter. We just didn't see him as much, but he was instrumental behind the scenes.
He did do some of that, but really then Miley became the, you know, they birthed a Disney star.
Hannah Montana.
Right? So that became their life. But Miley Cyrus is amazing. She has turned what was a disaster turn in her career mm-hmm. into gold. I mean, she has really found a way to be, you know, totally she's now like an adult act.
Yeah, she is. Like, you take her very seriously. She isn't about sort of like the performance stuff she was doing before just to get attention.
Hello, everybody.
That's Miley and
Dolly,
the great Dolly Parton together there, and they stayed. And so, what I appreciated about Miley is Miley's, you know, can, you know, blow anybody out of the water vocally, and she stayed with her.
She did.
She stayed.
That
she
was
stayed
what was incredible
at the point that she needed to stay to, you know, to make that really work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Dolly, they don't get to rehearse that a lot, so they're doing it as a duet, and it's kind of moving back and forth. It was really, really, it was beautifully done. The whole night was beautifully done. Again, I suggest that you should read the Cardi B lyrics and wonder how CBS got away with
that. How did that work? I don't know.
So I totally just read them when you said that,
yeah.
And I died a little, uh-huh. And then Katy Perry's performance resuscitated me, so...
Right. It's sort of like, then I'm wondering, what are they beeping out of Travis Scott?
Yeah, really?
Right? Is it a commercial reference or something? I mean, what? Because they did it at the Super Bowl. They did it last night.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, well, what could he be possibly saying? Because when you learn what's in Money, because Money is really basically an ode to some form of either amateur or professional prostitution. Mm-hmm. I'm not exactly sure which.
There's like three words in there that you can actually broadcast. Like, my, and dollar.
Yes, right. Because all the rest of it, you know, there's a coop and a dupe and a thing. And then she's writhing around and you're thinking, oh my God, she said something that rhymed with poop. And I thought, oh no. But it turned out that's not what she said. But the whole night, I'm like, I'm going, oh my God, I think there's something happening here. I just wanted to go over to the neighbors, make sure the kids weren't watching this part.
Yes,
please don't watch the Cardi B part.
Just throw your body in front of the television.
Right.
Nope.
Maybe watch the Jolene thing with Hannah Montana and the old lady.
That part's okay. Meets the censors.
Oh, man. All right.
Highly entertaining.
Very entertaining. Very, very well done.
Yeah.
Very well done.
Love it.
And Donny Hathaway got a Lifetime Achievement Award posthumously.
How about that?
God,
and then the double piano thing too with Alicia Keys was
amazing. Ah, she was amazing. She's a little bit of a I don't think she is a stoner, but she acts like a stoner.
She's always so calm.
She's cool jazz caddy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's weird. But she had a different energy than most hosts have.
Yeah.
She wasn't a caffeinated, you know, like rabbit. You know how people can be.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, you know, she was just, you know, in the moment. And she's so talented. You just got to, you know, she's just as talented as anybody else on that stage.
Right.
She
could sub in for them at any moment.
It's like having Stevie Wonder host it. All right. Let me do this right. Call number 19, 312-981-7200 wins a pair of tickets to see the Blackhawks take on the Blue Jackets Saturday night, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons, find them online at fourseasonsheatingcooling.com. Listen for your chance to win tickets all regular season long. All right. Kim, what's coming up in the news at the top of the hour?
President Trump talking about the border as he heads to the border.
Coming up, Kim Gordon's in the WGN newsroom, brought to you by Northwestern Medicine. Yeah, top 5-5, you won't believe. We'll get back to the fact that Lakeshore Drive over the Chicago River might be a mess for a decade based on something that happened today. So we will explain exactly what's going on there as well. That all comes your way, but first... You know, Red Hot Chili Peppers were on the Grammys last night.
Mm-hmm.
And their front man, who has, I mean, that band, it's really interesting because those guys now, I think it's, what is it, like 25 years?
Gotta be.
That Jeez, since gotta be. They hit the scene, right?
Anthony Kiedis.
Kiedis. He grew out like this. Porn stash and weird kind of haircut thing, like a Mo Howard haircut, like from the Three Stooges with the porn stash.
I didn't see.
And I can't decide if he's trying to do, like, this is all kind of a Freddie Mercury tribute or a, I don't know, it's weird. The whole thing was weird, man.
And Post Malone play with them? That was pretty wild.
Well, I'm watching, I'm like, who are they? Because I didn't see Flea, right? So I was like, who is that? I literally said that.
And he looks so much different.
Yeah. But he's another guy that did take his shirt off. Why does everybody have to take their shirt off if they're a rock star?
Didn't they kind of start that, though? Haven't they always been like Kelly riding naked on stage?
He was always
shirtless.
Yeah.
Always seen that way.
And Flea was doing the whole thing. And I was, you know, I was worried about Flea getting concussive brain injury.
He might have CT.
Right, from all the, like, the swinging of his head around and everything. And I was always very concerned about that.
Yeah. I think he's okay. Congrats to Buddy Guy also picked up his 8th Grammy.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Are we getting to that?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I didn't see it. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
Stand by. Oh, my God.
Grammys
gosh.
Were great,
Let's
though.
Go. Here we go. We got to start with this, actually, first. Let's do this, because that way everybody can share.
It's the top 5 on the Rokan Show.
5.
Let's go.
3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number 5.
All right, let's just start with the Sunday shows, because there's two ridiculous things on the Sunday shows.
Uh-huh.
Stephanopoulos sat down with the lawyer for the National Enquirer chief.
Yep.
Pecker.
Hilarious.
You can't make it up.
And his name is Elkin Abramowitz. Mm-hmm. And big time lawyer in the United States of America. He's no Mike Monaco, but he's rather famous.
Sure.
And he says that absolutely there's no truth to the allegations and implications that the National Enquirer or Pecker himself attempted to extort or blackmail Jeff Bezos, and that it was done on the behest or on the behalf of Donald Trump. Absolutely not true.
Jeff Bezos says extortion, blackmail.
It absolutely is not extortion and not blackmail. What happened was the story was given to the National Enquirer by a reliable source that had given information to the National Enquirer for 7 years prior to this story. It was a source that was well known to both Mr. Bezos and Ms. Sanchez.
And Lauren Sanchez's brother has since given an interview not denying that it was him.
Yes. Well, that was specifically asked here during the interview, and he wouldn't say.
He wouldn't say. No, he was being very cryptic about it, but the brother actually has said.
It's clearly the brother.
And, you know, how many people do they both know very well?
Right. You know what's going on here.
You kind of do.
How is that not extortion?
That is not extortion because all that AMI wanted was the truth. Bezos and Ms. Sanchez knew who the source was. Any investigator that was going to investigate this knew who the source was. It was not the White House. It was not Saudi Arabia. And the libel that was going out there slamming AMI was that this was all a political hatchet job sponsored by either a foreign nation or somebody politically in this country. That is something that, and the story was already published. How, it's a news decision to decide how long you can go with the same story.
Not since Michael Cohen's first lawyers have I heard more nervous lawyers than this guy last night.
Although, do you really think it's the White House? This seems, you know, this seems fairly transparent. He is a Trump supporter, her brother, the woman that Jeff Bezos was seeing. And he said he wanted to put the, set the record straight, that what they're actually saying is not true, that he seemed in...
Wait, let me stop you. I need to stop you. This is about whether or not we're going to see D-pics of Jeff Bezos.
Right, but
is it Bezos or Bezos? You're Greek.
I think it's Bezos.
Bezos. Okay, thank you. So let's just go with that. It's an OS. I figured together we have, there's a Z in there. You must know how to pronounce it. So
I think he's right. Okay, go ahead.
So Jeff Bezos is. This is the issue. We're going to see his winky. Is the end of the? That's what he was. That's what the National Enquirer was threatening. Now that has nothing to do with news. That has to do with personally embarrassing a guy. The news was that he was having an affair with this former TV news anchor.
Right.
And that he was leaving his wife and that was going to be the biggest divorce settlement in the history of America. That's okay. Fine.
That's what the National Enquirer peddles kind of stories, right? That's what they do.
But what are they going to do? I'm checking out and I got my, silk. Mm-hmm. Milk and
your silk milk. You do the soy,
right?
I didn't think you were a soy guy.
And I got some eggs, and I got some ham, and I got some cheese, and I got, and all of a sudden, I'm going to be looking at Jeff Bezos's thing.
Yeah.
On the National Enquirer.
They usually pixelate it. Let's be honest. You can't just have.
Well, then what's the point? But the point is that they're going to. But the idea with the National Enquirer was saying to him, listen, unless you release this statement that says that this wasn't political, and that the National Enquirer is a great newspaper.
And it's not politically motivated.
Right. That unless you do that, we're going to release these pictures of your winky.
I don't deny that it's extortion. And they certainly are known for their absolutely deplorable tactics in the past. So the way they handle these kinds of things and kill stories for their friends and, you know, all that kind of history. It just seems as if here it really came down to her brother saying, I got a scoop here and I'm going to let him know. It wasn't some high thing that was all the way up to the White House.
Right. Well,
they said initially that the White House was like, you know, somehow allowing for the people to tap phones and pull these pictures, which doesn't seem to be the case.
Well, then the question is whether or not. Well, how do they get the pictures off their phones?
I think that's a question. The brother had access to the sister's phone, is what it seems.
Who has access to their sister's phone?
Right. They're adults. They don't live together. How does he have access to the sister's phone?
He didn't deny that it was him
leaking the story. How did they get the pictures off the phone? Kids, please. And if you're gonna take the pics,
leave your face out of it.
Very important. Maybe they did, but my guess is that Bezos's winky looks a lot like the back of his head. So that's how I.
Oh, gee.
Can't imagine that. But the idea here is that the phone did get hacked. They somehow got the pictures off. The brother is not the guy who got the pictures off.
I don't know.
So that's where the Saudis come into play. The question is, did the Saudis help by using their intelligence services to hack his phone?
You think so? You think it goes that high?
How did they get it? Mm. How does the brother... I mean, come on.
If he knew that those pictures were there and for some whatever reason he wanted to get them...
They're not 14-year-olds in the same house and the brother's breaking in... Hey! Jeff stole my phone!
Yeah, I think...
It's not like that. This is, they live totally separate lives.
I'm not sold on the larger connection thing. I am sold that that the Enquirer is a friend of the president and would want to do this as, you know, for that reason. But I don't...
Oh, the Pecker did take an immunity deal. There's a lot of swearing in this story, isn't it?
Classic Pecker.
Yeah. It is ironic that Pecker would like to show the pictures of Bezos's,
right.
You know.
Sure. It's... There's too much
there. Is that the back of his head, or what is that?
From a distance. That might be the back of his head. Oh, my God, where is... Oh, no. Oh, no. All right, let's get to your 3-year 2-in-1. But first, Kim Gordon, follow that.
That's going to be tough. More snow and ice means here comes the airline cancellations.
Absolutely. Tuesday, after a viewer called for help, Joe Donlan started digging and discovered why some abandoned homes sit empty for years. WGN-TV investigates Tuesday at 9.
There we go.
It's your guy.
Yo. Kev, your best friend.
Yeah, love that guy.
He's too busy to call lately.
I saw him at Sox Fest.
Still loves you.
Yep.
does one-handed push-ups. Kim and I are like, yep, yeah, we can do that too, so we can blow our knee out.
You guys seem to freak
them
out.
Number three.
Talking in that voice you do last time.
Last night on the pre-telecast portion of the Grammy Awards, Buddy Guy won the Grammy for Best Traditional Blues Album. And backstage, he said that radio doesn't play traditional blues anymore, save maybe an hour on a Sunday on radio stations around America something like that. So you have to go see it in the clubs.
They don't play the Muddy Waters no more. They don't play the Lightning Hopkins anymore, you know. They just play the same records over and over. And I got children that didn't know who I was until they turned 21 and walked into the blues club and said, Dad, I didn't know you could do that.
That's pretty great.
How about that?
Checking in at
number two.
Dr. Oz says that he should be in the NBA Celebrity All-Star Game.
I was on the basketball team in high school, and though I played football in college, my roommates all played basketball for Harvard. So I was at safety, defensive back. So to stay in shape in the offseason, I'd go play with them. I learned some ball skills, having played up until I was 18, you know, frequently, and then even in college. If I get me to the foul line, I'm just praying I get to the foul line. I won't miss there.
Yeah, where were we in college? Oh, at Harvard?
There were so many humble brags in that sentence. I'm not sure that answer. I'm not sure where to start. I played a little ball. Yeah. Isn't that what you guys said?
Right, that's exactly what he just did. Yeah, I played a little ball at Harvard. I'd have been a full NBA. I'd have blown my knee out. And my ankle. And my... And if I had the talent.
Yeah.
Did I mention I went to Harvard?
Play a little football, too.
Number one.
Can you persuade people who never liked you in the first place?
Well, you know, I wouldn't worry about any of that. All I need is a mic and an audience, and I'm good to go. Because they all love Darius Trump.
Hey, we're back at Saturday Night Live, Them Trumps. It's a really brilliant thing, because it's an imagining of what would the world be like if the Trump family were actually black. And doing all the same things that they're doing right now.
Unbelievable.
Like the Empire family, essentially. It's like Empire meets the White House.
Dad, you really think this State of the Union speech is going to set all those haters straight?
Of course it is, son. Now, come on, let's get on up to the Capitol so I can do what I do and sauce on these hoes.
But, Dad, what about the new allegations?
And they still asking about Russia, Dad.
Don't nobody need to know about Russia. What happened between me and Russia, That don't concern them.
Well, you better watch yourself, Darius. They're saying that Mueller is closing in and your house of cards is crashing down.
Why are you trying to play me? I know how to deal with Mueller. I keeps my white boys on a leash. This is America. And even though I'm black...
Okay, we're getting pulled over.
Oh, yeah, I knew that was coming.
It's kind of brilliant. Yes. All right, close this thing up.
The top five at five.
Under the Bridge, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Get It.
Perfect. I thought this was the Grammys and you were trying to get me to shorten. Get off the stage.
Yeah, that's
they're playing the music.
I had to
play
it.
They did cut microphones last night.
All night.
Yeah.
They just kept cutting everybody off.
Everybody
but
off.
I liked it. The show was so great because the production, it's quick. It keeps moving the show. There's not like all these dead long speeches. It's like, let's go. On to the next performance.
You almost forget it's an award show.
Right. Right, exactly.
And musicians, by their very nature, take a long time to make a speech. Every speech has to be at least 3.5 minutes because it's like a song.
Even the biggest stars were getting cut off. They cut off Drake.
Right.
Like,
that's
shut up, Drake. I heard enough of you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Overall, really well done. Show.
Yeah,
that show has changed. Ken Ehrlich, who produces that, as the executive producer, totally changed the outcome of that. Because it used to be that you'd just watch a bunch of people with old country western hair standing around and introduce literally the best polka song of the year. You know,
and now they do those before, or they do it separately?
Yeah, they do that. It's all separate. There's
the
like
Tejano
60
music.
Something categories of the Grammys.
Mm-hmm.
And like actually more than that, because I think there's something like 15 genres that they could choose from. Like Weird Al Yankovic has more Grammys than any other person in history. He won another one last night.
We have presidents with Grammys too, because they do the
spoken word in a book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, before we get back to that, we need to find out what's going on. Ben Bradley at WGN TV has been following this Lakeshore Drive story.
Yeah.
Now the city just had a press conference, and they announced that they're going to be able to fix this. They say and I find this incredibly hard to believe, by tomorrow night.
Never underestimate the strength and power of duct tape.
I was going to say Gorilla Glue, but it's...
Yeah, Gorilla Glue.
Well, I've seen those commercials.
Better. Yeah.
But seriously, it looks like they're putting some kind of structural, what do they call it, a shoring tower? But they said it's temporary. Is that what they'll be going with for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, that shoring tower is aimed at kind of stabilizing it and getting it back in operational condition. I just heard, you know, a bit of that news conference from the Chicago Department of Transportation before I came on with you. Sounds like it wasn't just that one steel support beam that cracked. They found two of seven cracked. Two of seven. The CDOT commissioner was standing out there saying, no one's saying it was going to fall. There's a lot of redundancy built into the system. And then a reporter, of course, smart aleck reporter, says, well, what would have happened if no one noticed it? Well, it would have continued to separate even more and more, and you would have noticed it more and more. Thank goodness for those CDOT workers down there, though. They were actually working on another project down right near Randolph and Lakeshore Drive. And one of them is who spotted the cracked steel support beam and, you know, alerted their colleagues.
I thought it was Rokan from up here in our studios.
Yes.
You always surveyed the traffic
and structural issues across
the city.
Yeah,
it is weird that he's wearing the hard hat in the studio in the high rise, like, you know, three quarters of a block away from the whole thing. But, yeah, Ro does get credit.
Mm-hmm. I was noticing, speaking of hard hats, it's funny that you should mention that, because I just made this observation today. I went past a road crew, and they were all out there, and they're, you know, it's winter. They're out working on the roads. It's tough. And they were in the hard hats with the logos on it. They had a Sox guy.
Oh.
There was a Bears guy.
Nice.
And it struck me, there's never Cubs hard hats.
What do you think that tells you, Ron?
Have you ever thought about that? No one ever wears a Cubs hard hat. I'm sure there must be some. But
yeah,
just
you don't
not
see
like,
those.
You know,
I agree.
You know, especially now that Joe Ricketts is all over this thing.
So just to recap, we got an overpass on Lakeshore Drive crumbling to the point the pavement shifts, and you're
mm-hmm.
worried about
fashion.
North side versus south side.
Mm-hmm. Fashion choices.
I'm a Chicagoan, and it hit me. Well, yeah. I'm standing there, and I'm thinking, you know what? I don't think I've ever in my life seen that. All right, so back to this. So now they say that they are going to get this thing fixed tonight. Into tomorrow. And I would like to point out that Tom Skilling, no less an expert than Tom Skilling, mm-hmm. says that we're going to have this crazy winter mix tonight into tomorrow. And then by tomorrow, late afternoon, into the evening, 50-mile-an-hour wind gusts. I mean, they're really going to get this done now in the next 24 hours?
Yeah.
That's tough work.
Let's hope. I don't know whether it's sleet or grapple or freezing rain, but something's hitting my windshield right now, so it's already started. You know, the bigger picture on this story, guys, is something we reported earlier as we dug into the bridge inspection reports, and that is, you know, the inspections overall have found nearly 2,500 bridges in our state, you know, are in substantial disrepair. That's about 8%, a little more than 8%. Of all the bridges in the state. So, you know, as shocking and surprising as it is to have, you know, a section of a marquee overpass on Lakeshore Drive come apart today, you know, as we talked about a little bit earlier, the actual bridge that goes over the Chicago River at Lakeshore Drive, engineers found that to be in far worse shape than they did at this particular section that had problems today. Now, clearly the inspection didn't catch what it should have. But, you know, there are a lot of bridges, a lot of infrastructure that's in really bad shape.
Well, see, now that bridge, let's just face it, that bridge has got two levels. So the first level, just pancake on the second level first, right? Isn't that how that's going to go? So is the whole thing going in?
I think you're assuming the second level would support the first level pancaking down upon it.
Yeah, that's quite an assumption.
And think about if it happens in the summer, all those poor people on, like, the tandem bikes from Navy Pier.
That's bad. Yeah, it's an ugly scene. I don't want
to. The Segway is going to go straight into the river because you're going to have the guy on the Segway, the tour guide, going backwards as he's, like, leading the group, and he's not going to notice the bridge is out, and he's going to go right into the water.
Yeah, that would be the worst. This is bad.
It's a wake-up call, I think,
well,
isn't it?
And then how long did that... Imagine if they'd have to close these bridges for repair. And we've been through this before, mm-hmm. right, where you close the either Lakeshore Drive or you close any of the river bridges, right? Because you got Lakeshore Drive, Columbus, right. Michigan, Rush, or do we call it Wabash? I don't know, whatever that bridge is. Where it's Irv Cupsonet Way, that's all I know.
Yeah, that's how I put it, my GPS.
Yeah. I mean, if you take those things out, all the way out to the bend of the river, I mean, you screw up traffic like there's no problem. It's bad enough when they're up for 15 minutes at a time when a sailboat's going through.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, yeah. It's, Dearborn for
this is what happens when you know, Illinois has not had a capital bill in 10 years. You know, they are not investing in infrastructure. And, you know, federal funds help this out, too. And we know the federal government, President Trump had a little difficulty when he announced his infrastructure week. But, you know, this is the stuff that's not sexy in government and governing, but that affects a lot of people's lives.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And this isn't a case of, oh, we'll just get a private business to pay for it, because that's not how that works.
Right.
Right. You know, that old the old concept of...
Hey, don't think somebody hasn't thought about putting a toll on that thing. Oh, hey, you know, you'd have some company like the company that bought the Skyway come in and go, hey, I can fix that bridge for you, no problem.
Right, they need a 100-year contract.
Right. Sure.
By the way, anybody know where I can get my property taxes fixed now that everybody's going to the joint?
That's a problem for some people. Yeah, it's funny because you see how old some of these bridges are, too. There was a Chicago History social media post today about how the Wells Street Bridge, happy birthday, 97th birthday to the Wells Street Bridge. And you think about, I know they keep up to these things, and as you said, there are inspection reports regularly looking at where the issues might be, but it sounds from what you've been able to uncover, Ben, that, you know, there's some structural deficiencies across the system.
May I, if I could just stop, seize on that for a moment, think about the Wells Street Bridge. What's on top of the Wells Street Bridge?
The L.
The train. The L. Yes. That's how they got it across the river the first time. Then they dug some tunnels underneath the river, and you saw how that worked out.
Yeah.
All right. Boy. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Very
it's now
stressful.
Freaking me out, man.
Because
I take these bridges every single day. I mean, Chicago would shut down.
Right. Yeah. Well, and for a long time, it was how you walled yourself off from the teenagers during Lollapalooza. You just had them raise the bridge.
Right.
But now that you're south of the river, it's going to be tough.
Thank you, Ben.
Have you thought about this?
Thank you for sharing all my secrets. All right. Thanks, Ben.
Yep.
There he goes. Ben Bradley, WGN TV News right there.
Mm.
All right. Let me very quickly find out from Kim Gordon. What else is in the news?
It's all about Lakeshore Drive. The headache continues.
Coming up, the stories that matter from Kim Gordon in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Nice.
On the WGN Radio. In the 6 o'clock hour.
Mm-hmm.
Many things to get to. Anna Bursch is going to join us.
Great.
Chicago Blackhawk. Mm-hmm. About the, what I would consider one of the better moments in the Blackhawk seasons over the last number of years.
Yeah, longest winning streak in about 2 years. So it's been fun to watch them here over the past few weeks.
You know, I remember 2 years ago, weren't they? They were one of the best teams in hockey, and then went in and got swept.
Right,
right. So that was one of those situations where they were one of the worst teams in hockey. They're running through this, have a very good shot at making the playoffs, and I promise you, if they make the playoffs, they're going to the Stanley Cup.
All right, you heard it here first. 5:52, February 11th, row, booking it down.
Well, momentum's a funny thing, isn't it?
It is.
When you pick up your momentum as a team.
It's just so, you know, after the double doink, we're kind of looking ahead to the winter like, oh, God, now we're going to be freezing and not going to be watching any competitive sports for the next few months here. But the Blackhawks have completely revitalized this season, and the games feel huge again they did for so long. Every game matters, and you're hanging on every moment. It was so fun yesterday watching that game against the Red Wings.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit.
And again, Detroit sucks.
Detroit sucks.
We prove it every single time in case there's any kind of a question.
We remind them at games as well.
Exactly. That is the kind of thing. And
that happens.
And when Green Bay isn't sucking, Detroit is sucking.
Hey.
It's true, Kim Gordon. I'm sorry. I mean, it's all we do at football games. I do it at football games that have nothing to do with the Bears. I'll sometimes go to an Ohio State game and I'll go, Green Bay sucks! And nobody understands why I'm saying that.
You'll wear that big cheese shredder thing on your head.
I go to the youth football games in my neighborhood and just start yelling it just to get it off my chest.
Get the kids ready. They need to know this stuff.
Like, oh, Greg Powell's back. Here he comes.
Yep, but they get it, though. I mean, they get it. They got to learn it sometime, Kev.
All right. A couple dads join me on the side.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, you go to Bears game, even if the Packers aren't in town, and there's Green Bay suck signs all over the place.
That's true.
In the South lot, they have that dummy in the Packers uniform.
Yes, for all the games.
Every game.
For all, it doesn't matter. Kansas City Chiefs could be in town, and they got a big Green Bay Packer mope.
You know that like, saying, they go low, we go high, that's how
Packer fans. Oh, because Green Bay's known for going high.
Like the Packer fan who trolls the Bears, the guy who's going to lawsuit against the Bears right now.
Yes, they had to get rid of that sideline thing that they were doing for the season ticket holders. He ruined it, that guy, because he wanted his green hair.
I remember how humble...
A uniform to wear.
I remember how humble the Green Bay Packers fans were on opening night up in Green Bay when we were running away from the stadium because the Bears had just lost a game they should have won.
Yeah. How about it?
And there was a lot of, they drink a lot up at that stadium. I don't know if you know
think?
That.
Oh, unlike Bears fans.
Yeah. Bears fans are always completely polite.
And completely rational thinking. Yeah.
Yeah, at all times.
You know what is amazing, though, is when you go to the you mentioned this earlier. I heard you talking to John Williams about this earlier, Kevin, that it's such a great tradition, the Detroit Red Wings and the Hawks, and you just... It so sucks now, if I could just use that term
twice
over and over again, that you only get to see them twice a year, right? You get to see that laundry on the ice.
Right.
And it's a great tradition of hatred and of complete disrespect and dislike. And it's nice because the teams, they've had this tradition for close to 100 years. So that's a nice thing.
Right. I think yesterday's game, it was... I can't remember the number, how many times they've faced, but two is not enough for this rivalry. Yesterday was perfect, too, because football's over, the golf was delayed.
It's a great game, too, because they were both, there was a ton of offense. It was, the puck was going back and forth. It wasn't just, it never slowed down, it didn't appear. It was just it was great fun. You could tell that there was a special kind of excitement when those two franchises meet. And I know that a lot of players are like, I don't know. I've never, I'm not from here.
I didn't know about the rivalry, sorry.
Yeah, right. And there's some guy from Sweden who's barely able to figure it out. The guy from Sweden can't figure out if he's in the United States or Canada. It's one thing to him. He's not sure what it is. So, but the fans draw you in. And I also love the fact that in terms of seeing other sweaters in the stadium, in the concourse. It's the only time of year where you really see a lot of opposing sweaters.
That's true. You really don't see it at Hawks games.
Right. Sometimes you see it when New York's in town.
Yeah.
But
like if they're
some
playing
of the Canadian teams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Vancouver. I was surprised how many Vancouver sweaters there were last week. But this is, it's a special deal.
They're back. Yeah. Hawks are back.
Yeah. I like it. It's like Green Bay and the Bears, too. You get a lot of, at least 25% of the stadium is the other team, right? Which you rarely
get. On both sides. Yeah.
So it's fun. It's fun. All right.
Well, seven Anna in Burch a row.
Join us. Yeah, it's very, very fun. It's all the whole
exciting.
Thing is good. I don't know what all you people are so worried about. It's all going to be
why
fine.
Why are we so panicked?
I don't know.
Well, you guys are keeping it going, too, because you were there and going back. So hopefully you'll keep the...
We're part of the streak.
You are part of the
streak. We are part of the streak. We'll also talk about that new football league, too, with Kev coming up in a little bit, just right after the news. Show with Anna DeVlantis here on 720 WGN. Kevin Powell, I want to ask you about the American Association of Football.
The Alliance of American Football?
Yes.
Close enough.
Whatever that is.
What is it for short? A what?
AAF.
AAF. Okay.
All right. So now, what I noticed about this, And there was, so CBS, this is on CBS, right?
CBS is behind it. Dick Ebersol, a famous sports producer.
From NBC.
From NBC. He did the Olympics for years. He was like, you know, a star in that industry. He was actually involved with the XFL. He partnered with Vince McMahon when that launched 17, 18
Trump.
Years ago. And Trump, his son Charlie is now a part of this, along with Bill Polian. Bill Polian, if you're a football fan, you see him a lot on ESPN. He's like a football insider, but he's a former NFL executive. He was like the head guy for the Indianapolis Colts. He's involved with it. Hines Ward, of course, the Steelers' longtime receiver. Mike Singletary's a coach.
Oh, I love
for
that.
For the Memphis team. Mike Martz is involved with this. Steve Spurrier, a football name
Steve, I started seeing Steve Spurrier in beer commercials, and I realized he's not going back to college.
No.
As soon as he started doing that.
Had a lot of success in college. So essentially what this is it's eight teams. And they're from smaller markets.
All from the South.
All from the South.
Except for Salt Lake.
Towns
that probably don't have, or
Atlanta.
Don't have.
Atlanta has a team. Okay. So Atlanta, Birmingham, Memphis, Orlando, and Salt Lake.
Salt Lake.
Arizona, San Antonio, and San Diego. So fairly large markets as well, but not like Chicago and New York aren't involved. The ratings Saturday night matched the NBA's telecast of their primetime Saturday matchup game. So they did pretty good for an opening weekend.
They were on CBS on Saturday night.
Correct. And then yesterday the ratings didn't do as well because they have games on Saturday and Sunday. So you can get your football fix both days on the weekend.
But what time are these games? Are they all afternoon games?
Like afternoon and night. So there was a primetime game Saturday like at 7. There's two games at night, and then yesterday there was a day game and a late afternoon game. So I think they're going to look at those ratings and maybe start fudging with the schedule a little bit, I think.
Because they can.
Because they can, right. But they have this is on CBS and CBS Sports Network. So they have backing, and
I have CBS Sports Network?
You probably do, because you have like four different TV providers, so you get every channel.
You have 7,000 channels, right? You do have it, just finding it.
Here's why I think it can work. Because first of all, just launching it the week after the Super Bowl is perfect. Because the football junkies like you, Ro, and me are probably still going to watch this. Even if we don't know 90% of the guys. Some of the guys you see, you're like, I remember him from college. I remember that guy. Aaron Murray played big-time quarterback in Georgia. Denard Robinson, the Michigan guy who didn't tie shoelaces before every game, called him shoelaces. He plays in the league. So there's some recognizable names. I think it's going to work because they're not fighting the NFL. Remember when the XFL came out, it was like an alternative to the NFL, and everyone's like, nah, I'm not going to leave the NFL. The NFL's the best.
Well, this is by far not the first, not the second, not the third even attempt to take on the NFL. There was, in the 1970s, there was the World Football Association, the World Football League. You had the XFL. Yeah. You had
the
USFL.
That was the Trump one.
Before the XFL. Mm-hmm. Then you had indoor football, you know, arena football.
Right.
But the...
And the USFL actually had some success for a while there, didn't it?
Well, now what's interesting is that everybody wanted to do what the AFC did to the NFL, or the AFL did to the NFL. They wanted to get good enough that they got absorbed in.
Right. It's like a startup just trying to get sold to a billionaire investment firm.
Exactly. So that it all of a sudden... And this is, I think, a little... And this is why all of those are not NFL, with the exception of Atlanta. Those are not NFL markets.
Right. Right.
So if you go in, and I think it's fascinating, like Birmingham. I mean, you just imagine, you know, what goes on in, you know, Birmingham, which doesn't have University of Alabama football either. It's got UAB football, which is different. And I think that in the South is where you still get the predominant number of,
no question,
of high school and
elite
college entrants. Elite players, people, you know, they send their kids to play football when they're 2 years old. They put a helmet on there, but some of them are actually born. They actually come out of the womb
with a helmet,
mm-hmm. which is kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. So I do think that there is, you know, there's a little bit of genius to it. Now, they've tried this. I want to go back to how the USFL was the closest to being anything, because I think the USFL lasted for a couple of seasons. And a lot of guys from the USFL actually ended up in the NFL. Mm-hmm. There were guys who, and the USFL drafted people away from the NFL.
Well, you wonder about that. It's going to be a stage for players who may not have been had what it took to get the real high draft pick or even get drafted.
Or,
but some, then
or somebody who is a high draft pick and they flake out in the NFL in 3 years and they don't have a team. I think it could work because it's not them fighting the NFL. They actually seem to sort of kind of be working together. I mean, the NFL Network, if you watch the actual channel, you'll see them promote this league. I think what this can be is sort of like a farm system for the NFL. The NFL is the only league of the major sports that doesn't have something like that. Think about hockey. There's Rockford. Think about the NBA has the G League now. They're developing that. Think about baseball. They've had farm systems forever, multiple levels of farm system. The NFL has kind of been missing it there. When you have so many players that are obviously still interested, these guys are all getting 3-year, $250,000 deals, non-guaranteed, but that's not that bad if you're out of football. I mean, you can survive on that. How cool would it be too, like if one of those teams over the week, one of these eight teams was an affiliate for the Bears, let's say.
So what do you do with an affiliate?
That would be cool.
You bring guys up and move them down like you do in baseball?
You can do that, or you can... maybe there's a guy on your radar or on your 90-man roster that didn't make your team, but you still want to develop him. You say, hey, go play in this league. You're still a part of this our system. You know, I mean, like MLB teams have the rights to all the players. It's complicated, but I think if they link themselves to the NFL in that way rather than even fighting it, if you can be a part of the NFL, you're not going anywhere.
Well, it is interesting because they're closer aligned to the NFL than any of these other leagues have ever been. These leagues were always started by billionaires who wanted to, you know, kind of bully their way in.
Yeah.
Right? And whether it was the Chicago Fire, the Chicago Wind, the Chicago Blitz, the Chicago
Enforcers,
Blizzard, the Chicago Rush. Right, the Chicago Rush, all those, the Enforcers was XFL, right?
Yeah,
all of those attempts, with the exception of Vince Evans, I think it was the only, I remember from that early part, became a quarterback with the Bears, right? That's there was a little bit you could do that in the 1970s because, you know, guys were working at car dealerships in the off season, right? They were literally working for their sponsors. Mike Ditka was number 89 because he was a sales guy at WLS Radio in the off season.
Think about
that's wild.
That
so you think about that, right? So there is like a whole other world of football opportunity that is, I would theoretically available now to the NFL teams if they want to do this. However, do they want to carry the insurance for these guys?
That's a big part.
And the pay, because they seem to be doing just fine without it. Because college is there.
It's true.
Minor leagues, and you don't want to hurt the college game because people watch college. Even though every year you're watching players on college you've never heard of in your life.
Right.
Right.
It's like a new year type thing. You get to know a team. It's like a new team every year in some ways, except for a quarterback who maybe stays for a couple years or whatever. But
it's the traditions of those teams.
Right.
I agree. Back 100 and some years, that's why you watch it.
Yeah.
And the alumni base that just naturally is going to root for the team, whether or not you know the players.
Yeah. At this point where the NFL is, this is an organization that brings in billions of dollars every year. You're not going to beat the NFL. Your only way is that's why I don't think the XFL really is going to stand a shot. This league seems to be trying to find its way into that little crack that maybe the NFL says, okay, we'll be full-blown
Roger Goodell
partners with you.
Wants another organization that he's going to have to worry about something stupid.
One thing to consider is, too, though, we talk about the college game, talk about even the high school level game. Some of these institutions might be getting out of the football business at some point. I'm not saying even in 5 years, maybe in 10 years. Where do you develop talent? These schools are getting with the heads, the concussions and CTE and those sorts of things. That could change the way amateur football is played and organized. So if you have a private league, something like this, where you can say, okay, however you want to do it, at least they have that opportunity, that platform to give amateur football players a chance to develop and then maybe make their way to the NFL.
You think they could also improve on some things that you're seeing in the NFL that people just hate, like bad calls by referees at critical points in the game that determine the Super Bowl winner.
Right. Well, I think a lot of people like the new rules. They did some cool stuff where you can like hear the referees talking about plays, but there's no extra point. You just go for two every time. There's no
Cody Parkey.
There's no there are field goals. There's no kickoffs, though.
Oh.
It was fast moving, and the games only took 2.5 hours or so.
Now that's where you will get, because there has been innovation from these leagues all the way through.
Right.
that have affected the rules and the camera work and stuff like that.
Well, the XFL, they did a 30 for 30 on the XFL, the fly cam. Yeah, exactly. That
came out of the XFL.
Came out of the XFL, guys, things like that. The pylon camera.
Yep.
At the end zone, like that was an XFL thing. Which now you think about it, it's always in every single game you have that.
And sometimes you see college do the same thing. College will do something in their production that NFL picks up or in their rules.
Right.
And I think the kickoff has to go anyway.
I'm fine with it. Look, I love football. I grew up playing it. I'm like a traditionalist with football. I don't want to see a ton of change. But the play is mostly boring. At this point where they moved up the kickoff, it's almost always a touchback. And there's opportunity for massive violent hits on kickoffs, which I like seeing, to be honest with you. But if they do want to adapt and sort of change where that. So the way they do it, if you want to, instead of an onside kick, you have the opportunity of running a play from like your own 25, and if you convert on 4th and 10, you get to keep the ball, which is kind of a cool idea, because that's one of the arguments. Well, you get rid of the kickoff. What about an onside kick? So what they do is they place the ball on like your 25, and they give you 4th and 10. If you get it, you get to keep the ball. It's the equivalent of converting the onside kick.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's very smart.
You know, and then
I like that.
It's different,
and that's going to actually
and
increase
more excitement.
Scoring.
Yeah, you know, the extra point has gotten more interesting since they moved it back, but it'd be kind of cool if it was 2 point every time.
Right.
You know? So
the other thing I'd love to see them do is constant celebrations. And I know you guys will not agree with me, but like I think the players should be allowed to do whatever they want. They can
do a
dance. They can have fun. Look like you're having fun out there.
Well, limited time. It's sort of like the Grammys. You play them off if they go on for too long.
Well, remember forever they didn't allow group celebrate. Well, they did and then they didn't. And then this year they brought it back. That's why
I'm
we had
so
all
happy.
These great Bears group celebrations. And it was so fun. It goes viral on social media and people laugh about it.
But here's things that the NFL clearly needs to do, though, is to pay attention to when you have. There's going to be an entire 10-game season, and then I think 4 teams make the playoffs, or something like so.
Championship games, and then like
it's going to be a 12-week season here. Essentially, they'll watch some of the stuff that's happening here, and you might be able to take things out of it that might be useful. And they should make wholesale rule changes this year.
Yeah. I'd be fine with it.
Because for the NFL.
I mean, look at where baseball is headed with those dramatic rule changes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's the game's just got to keep adapting, I think. But, you know, and I think this thing could be sort of a little playground for the NFL to try things out if they wanted to.
You know? And I don't think they want to pay these guys. And I think they don't want, because the insurance on these guys and
taking on a whole large roster. I get
it. Long term ramifications of what happens.
What if they don't pay, though? What if these teams keep paying, but you're still like an affiliate in some way? I just think there could be a connection between the leagues. But I agree. If the NFL is going to get involved, they're going to cover their butts in that regard.
From the city of Chicago, I definitely want to fill up Soldier Field.
Yeah.
Yeah?
You know, for 10 more games.
Mm-hmm. No question.
But I don't know that you'd fill up Soldier Field. I mean,
most of those stadiums are pretty empty over the weekend.
I do recall what it was like. I tried to get into all of those things. As a kid, it was like, as soon as, oh my God, spring football. What? Wow! I think the World Football League and the World Football Association were both like summer, like spring into summer, right up to the Bears season.
At Soldier Field?
Yeah. And
I mean, they got numbers Saturday night. I mean, they matched the NBA's ratings Saturday night.
That's pretty cool.
First
week, I know.
You only can see Birmingham playing Memphis
so many times.
They have to play each other 16 times,
right,
apparently, in the season.
Because
I was looking at the entire schedule, and the funny thing is, because there's only 8 teams, you're just watching this thing over and over and over again, and they got to play for 10 weeks. I think there might be teams that play each other 3 times.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like,
Who are you for, Salt Lake or Birmingham?
Well, my brother lives in the Atlanta suburbs now, so I'm kind of partial to the Atlanta Legends.
It's the Atlanta Legends. Terrible. What are the names?
The names are not good. It's like the Memphis Express.
Because of Federal Express.
So the Atlanta Legends, Birmingham Iron, I kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
Memphis Express, the Orlando Apollos.
What?
I don't know.
The Apollos.
Does that have to do with anything? I mean, they consider themselves part of the Space Coast. No, they're not. They're Disney.
Arizona Hotshots.
Okay.
It's hot in Arizona.
What would that be?
It's hot.
All right.
Salt Lake Stallions.
Stallions.
How you doing?
Yeah. It can go a lot of ways.
San Antonio Commanders and the San Diego Fleet.
Wait, Commanders?
The Commanders, yeah.
San Antonio.
I don't love that one.
All right.
I'll watch because I'm a football junkie, and I think a lot of people will. But I
should have been
it's...
the San Antonio fence jumpers. The I'm just thinking. Well, how would Trump if he had like the league? What would he do? What would how would
San
he
Antonio
do?
Build the wall?
Yeah, the walls.
The walls.
San Antonio walls.
San Diego
ice agents.
San Diego ice.
Right.
Kind of a play on the weather. Wait, what? I don't get it. It's warm there. No, ice, like ice, ice.
Border Patrol. Border the San Patrol. Diego Border Patrol.
Right. Perfect.
Yeah, I like it. All right. Okay, let's find out from Kim what's happening in the news at the bottom of the hour.
What do Americans think about wearing blackface? There's a new study out today.
Brocon Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Yeah. All right. I'm very excited about the Blackhawks.
Same.
Am I crazy?
7 in a row.
Am I crazy to think that they're going to make the playoffs? Adam Burrish is going to answer that question. And I want you to answer the very specific question, not the general question, am I crazy? Because that's an easy one. Mm-hmm. Am I crazy to think that the Blackhawks are going to make the playoffs this year?
No, you being crazy, yeah, I can live with that. But I don't think you are. And I said it on TV the other night, too, is, you know, if you're sitting at a bar watching, you're sitting at home or at the United Center telling your buddies you think the Blackhawks are going to make the playoffs, a month ago your buddy would have laughed at you. Now I think he would say, I agree with you. The way this team is playing, and I can tell you from an old player and talking to guys that are on the league right now, when a team is hot like this and they're playing with confidence and they're feeling good and old number 88 and 19 are setting the league on fire right now, it's a scary team to play again. The building's alive now. The last week, if you've been to a Blackhawks game, there's a buzz in the arena again. There's people exciting. The players talk about it in their interviews. And now this is that team again that teams are scared to play against. So I don't think you're crazy at all for thinking that. I think this team's going to keep rocking.
I'm going to take it one step crazier because I said if they make the playoffs, I made this prediction, they will make the Stanley Cup. Now, will they win the Stanley Cup? I don't know. But I think they're going to buzz through because their momentum is momentum. And I have not seen them play with this level of speed, Adam Burrish, in even beyond the season that was so great 2 years ago when they got wiped out in the first round of the playoffs. The speed on the ice is like 15 level.
Well, you've been watching close because you nailed it, and especially this last game, Sunday, a 2 o'clock game. And sometimes 2 o'clock starts are a little bit tough because, at least for me, it was, what do you eat, right? So you get up at 8 or 9 a.m. and usually eat chicken and pasta. Well, I don't feel like eating that in the morning. Your routine's a little bit screwed up. And so sometimes you see a little bit of a sluggish start. Man, they were flying on Sunday. They absolutely outskated a Red Wings team that's a bunch of young kids that can really skate and shoot, and they ran them into the ground early in the first period. And I'm with you. I think back to, we won the Cup in 2010 and 2011. I was playing in Dallas at the time, and the LA Kings sucked the entire season. They weren't good until about January, and they went on this crazy run. They won their last game of the season to make the playoffs, and then they went on the run to win the Stanley Cup that same year. So I'm with you. Teams that have a lot of momentum that have had to kind of grind. The Blackhawks had their adversary this year already, right? So they lose their coach. The beloved Joel Quenneville gets fired. They go on these terrible skids.
Yeah.
Everybody's writing them off. Now the flowers have bloomed. Everybody's excited now. The team feels good. Talk to these guys. I'm sure you see their interviews. Their demeanor is different. They're smiling. They're laughing on the ice. They're having fun. This is a confident team. And in the NHL, you get a confident team, it's a scary team.
Can I ask you about Jeremy Colliton and the impact of this? Because you mentioned Coach Q, and I think a lot of fans were sort of, you know, we were shocked and maybe a little puzzled when Coach Q was, you know, replaced by Jeremy Colliton. And I got to say, I would be honest, I think there was some doubt, right? There was some doubt that this was going to be a positive change. And do you think he's earning our respect? And does this impact what he's doing for this team and the perception of him?
I'm with you. I think everybody was shocked. I was shocked. I think the players were shocked. Sad may be a word. This is a guy that everybody loved. Players loved playing for him. He was an incredible coach. He treated guys like pros. Go down that lineup, everybody would say he was the best coach they ever had, and all of a sudden they're doing terrible. They fire this beloved guy that everybody loved playing for, and all of a sudden Jeremy comes in. They still go on this skid. And now Jeremy's message has finally kind of come to fruition, and I give him a heck of a lot of credit. Mm-hmm. He hasn't wavered. His message has stayed the same. His demeanor has stayed the same. And I've been on teams that have gone on skids, on other teams away from Chicago. And a lot of times that the coach starts changing his message. He starts yelling and screaming. He starts beating guys down, you know, verbally and screaming and embarrassing them in video messages. And from all the, everything the guys say, he's kept that even keel, that even demeanor. And I think that's translating to the team. When things start to go sour, everybody kind of goes crazy. The media goes crazy. Players in the locker room are wondering what's going on. And every day to come to the rink and have a consistent voice and have that calming presence. He's not a guy during games that's changing lines all the time. If one bad shift, he doesn't change. He sticks with it. Be calm. He trusts what he says and he trusts what he does. And I think now you're seeing that that method that he's had is really paying off. It seems like a calm team that's having fun playing again. And when you're struggling, I think that seems to be the answer now in the NHL, where it's consistency. It's a long season. And when the Blackhawks were doing so great with Joel, it was always consistent. It was always the same. It was, have fun coming to the rink. We're going to give you your space. We're going to give you your days off. But when we play, man, it's on, and we're going to shove it down your throat. And now you're seeing that team doing that. And they got to give Jeremy a heck of a lot of credit. He's done an awesome job.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Adam, they're about to have a good problem on their hands, or a good predicament, because Corey Crawford was a full participant in practice today. Look, when that concussion happened in December, we thought his season was probably over, considering how long it took him to get back from that first concussion. But full participant, he says he's ready to go. We still don't have an exact timetable for when he'll return, but Colin Dealey and Cam Ward have been really good over the past 10 games or so. How do you see this work? Do you think Delia gets sent down to Rockford? They just gave him a 3-year contract extension today, and Cam Ward has a clause in his deal where they couldn't even send him down if they wanted to. So do you see Delia getting sent down and getting more reps in Rockford, and then have Crawford and Ward as your two goalies?
If that happens, I don't think it'll be right away. I think they're going to let this thing play out a little bit. It's a little bit like for players and forwards or defensemen, when you're injured for a while and you're ready to come back, if the team's winning, not much changes. And the lineup doesn't, you don't see the lineup coaches make lineup changes when the team is winning and we're on a roll. You know, I've been there where I've been scratched for a game, or I've been injured for a game and I'm ready to come back, and the coach just says, hey, I can't change anything right now. There's not been a guy that's deserved to come out of the lineup yet. And goaltenders are the same situation. And Corey, I heard what he said today to the media, that these guys have earned to play right now. I'm not kicking and screaming to get back in that net. These guys deserve to keep playing. We're on a roll right now. I don't want to disrupt that. And that says a lot about Corey, and it says a lot about what this team has done. And I think for the Hawks and for the fans and for the coaches, they got a great situation now where now they can wait. They can get Corey back in shape. They can get him. He's practiced once with the team, so let's give him a few weeks of practice. Let's get him back up to speed. Let's get him some real shots in practice, and let's take our time with this. And we all know that if the playoffs started tomorrow, Corey Crawford's probably going to be in the net if he's 100%. But right now, let's let these guys keep rolling as long as they can. And let's keep Corey ready. And I think that's that. From everything I know and everything I hear, I think that's the right approach and the approach they take. But I think you talk about the trade deadline coming up. Maybe Corey Crawford coming back, and they don't do a lot at the trade deadline. Here's your trade acquisition. Here's your trade deadline deal. You get, for me, the best goalie in the league last year before he got hurt. You get him back in net now. Well, that can be a pretty big spark for this team.
Let me ask you about the concept of momentum versus looking ahead. These guys are on a roll, but they got to play one game at a time. It's like the playoffs in a lot of ways. I mean, this is basically going to be a 5-month playoff run if this is what it's going to turn into.
Yeah.
Right. So you have to stay really focused, because they are. I think they have maybe 5 games left without a point. And any more than that, they may not make the playoffs, because they still have to climb 4 teams. It's not like, you know, there's a lot of guys, you know, people are going to win on the ice, you know, on nights. They're going to get points, 1 or 2 points a night. So this is going to be a race all the way to the very end. It could be like the LA Kings. Could be a situation where you in 2011, where it comes down to the very last game of the season. How do you keep them focused?
Well, for us as fans, I think it's pretty cool. So every game from here on out is going to have a little bit of a playoff implication, playoff atmosphere. You know, you're going to see the Hawks' best hockey, the best effort from here on out, which is fun as a fan. Every game is going to be, they're going to be jacked up for it, so that's cool. But it's funny, as players, it's usually kind of split down the middle. You've got half the guys that the second the game is done, they'll walk into the TV room, or they'll go over to one of the coaches and say, what did St. Louis do tonight? What did Minnesota do tonight? What did Colorado do? You'll have the other guys that kind of don't care, that aren't going to really pay attention. But As a player, what you usually do is you get ready for your game that night. You play it between periods. You're not checking scores. You're not seeing. But once that game is done, you know, within 5 minutes of taking your gear off, guys are in the lounge. The TV's on with the NHL channels, and you're seeing what the other teams around the league are doing and hoping St. Louis loses or hoping Colorado or Minnesota lose. But that's kind of how you do it as a player, is you focus on your game that day, and the second it's done, I was one of those guys, the second the game was done, I go in and either check my phone or look at the TV and see what the other games are doing. So that's normally the approach.
And, Birch, what else were you checking on your phone? I just want to know, when you get off the ice, you know, you're looking at your phone.
Usually just text from my mom telling me how great I played.
Oh, that's sweet. Uh-huh. How about that?
All right. Usually it. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
That was it.
Right. Yep.
All right. Hang out in your seats, and we'll be out in about 20 minutes. Was anything like that? Nothing like that.
No. It was just scores and listen to my mom tell me how great I am.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Nice to be a professional.
He's a pro. Yep.
So, what time are we meeting at Cuvée? I don't know. Mom, I have no idea.
It's odd for mom to ask that.
Yeah, I don't know. Strange. Mom, we're not meeting at Cuvée tonight. All right. Yeah. That's very exciting. I'm thrilled that this team did make this turnaround, because I was, after Q got fired, we all were. All the Hawks fans are devastated.
You're in mourning.
And Jeremy Colleton, as it seems like, you know, a great young talent in this. But was he ready to step into the, you know, the voracious appetite of Hawks fans for a great winning team? Was he ready to, you know, get chewed up in all of that? And now he makes his turn. And you know what? The pressure's off of him now. Yeah. Because now it does seem like, hey, maybe there is something there. And even though I think even really, really adept hockey fans, it you never really fully understand how the lines are being created, because a lot of it is done on feel, right? I mean, on the ice. And so he seems to have that feel. He seems to get a sense. There's a reason that Stan thought that this guy was going to be worthy, great, and take a risk on him, because everybody's job is on the line. Sure. Stan's job is on the line if this doesn't work out. John McDonough would be the first to tell you, maybe I should go if this doesn't work out. You know, it's a crazy thing. And I'll hear from John for saying that. But these guys, no, they're all, they everybody wants to be responsible here.
True. And Stan, we can. Yeah. Remember the T-shirt?
Totally. You're going to
get. Yep. With Stan.
Do you know if my job was on the line?
It was, totally.
It was? Yeah, that's what I thought too. And I also want to say, don't forget, give the veteran guys on this team, give them a huge amount of credit too. Duncan Keith and Seabrook and Kane and Taves, especially those four guys, because don't forget, the first 30 games or 40 games of this season and leading up to the season, people had somewhat written them off, right? They're too old.
Right.
The game's changed. It's a speed game now. And those guys hear that stuff. As players, you hear it, you feel it, you live in this city, and you can't go anywhere without hearing something Blackhawks now. And so those guys, and it's hard to do. I give them a lot of credit to be able to block that off and really focus. And it would have been easy for them just to say, you know what, this season's done. We've gone on, you know, three different big losing streaks. It's going to be really, and they didn't. And what Kane's done this year, for me, if he doesn't win, if he continues this for another 25 games and doesn't win the MVP, I'd be really disappointed.
MVP.
The season Taves has been incredible. And Seabrook and Keith, the last 3 weeks, with all the rumors about them going on the trade stuff, they've blocked that out. And defensively, it doesn't show up on the score sheet, but man, they've been rock solid, defended really hard, and put a lot of energy into this. So give those guys a lot of credit, too.
Let us start that chant with Patrick Kane. MVP.
No kidding.
That's what it should be every time he's on the ice or he scores or when they introduce him. Because I think let's just show a little bit of respect and thanks for the past, what has it been, 12 years, right? For 13 seasons or whatever. We got to be respectful there. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Adam Burrish. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Adam.
Thanks. See you
later. See ya. That is true. I'm crazy. Let us now check in. Don Kleppen is in the WGN Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. What's coming up?
Early voting in Chicago's mayoral election now open. We'll have more on that.